So in City Light, we go by theme. Every month, we have a theme that everything we do is focused around. And our theme for the month of April is abiding in faith. Everybody say abiding in faith. So for the past 3 weeks or so, we have been delving into the subject of faith. The subject of faith. Just looking at it from different dimensions. And today we're going to be rounding that up. Amen. And so one of the instructions that the Holy Spirit gave to me recently was that as we focus on teaching these things in a month, we should also bring people in the body of Christ that God has anointed specifically to communicate those truths. Just bring them in wherever they are, as far as we have access to them. And we've been doing that from the beginning of the year. So this month also, as you all know, and as we all are expectant, we have a man of God all the way from Oklahoma that is going to be a blessing to us today. Are you guys excited? Let me see your excitement. I can't feel it. Amen. So, very special man of God. Let me give you a little introduction. I think I've said it before. Many years ago, over 20 years ago, I was a student at Obafemi Awolowo University in Ilefe. Young man in my first or second year of college. The year 1993, thereabout. And people will come to us then in college, and they'll be talking about a fellowship or a church that existed in another college, the University of Ibadan, called Victory Christian Fellowship. And then people will talk about a young man there, they call him Pastor D. That there's a pastor there, Pastor D, and they call him Spirit D. Amen. Because he was a spirit. So we used to hear a lot about Spirit D, that, you know, pastoring young people there, doing amazing stuff. And so, hearing about him, some began to travel there. I didn't have the chance to travel, but the person I was working with then, you know, traveled over there just to be in the fellowship, just to see him. And before long, there was a Victory Christian Fellowship established in Ife, which now became Kingsward. It was from that inspiration, partly, that happened. And as God will have it, God ordained it that the same Spirit D will be my brother-in-law. Isn't God amazing? Just like my other brother-in-law here, GD, can you just wave your hand all the way from Houston? Amen. We were in the same secondary school. And we were close. We do mathematics together and all that. Then we went to the same college. I did not know he was going to become my brother-in-law. That's over 20-something years ago. That tells you that wherever you are right now, and you are doing things with people, you don't know where you are going to meet. Maybe your daughter is going to marry their son. You know, so you better treat people well. Amen. Treat them very well. Because you don't know. They might be your next boss. Amen. Or their children might be, you know, you know what I'm talking about. But it's such a small world. Amen. It's such a very small world. And God knows the way he orchestrates things. So we're so privileged today. You know, all the way from Rhema Bible Training Center in the city of Oklahoma, Pastor D and his wife, Dr. Modele Oguniyi. Dr. Modele is a cardiologist at Emory University. Let's put our hands together for her. She's a pastor too. She pastored that same fellowship. But they are here today, and they're going to be a blessing to us. They're going to be teaching us on the subject of faith. I ask you to open up your hearts, because the Holy Ghost is coming upon you, and your life can never remain the same. Why don't we rise up and welcome all the way Pastor Dakwa and Dr. Modele Oguniyi as they come forward. Amen. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we give you praise and thanks. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Close your eyes a second. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God, praise God. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Yep, yep, we'll do that. Amen, praise God. It's okay. Amen, praise God. You can open your eyes. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you so much for having us. It's a great honor to be here. Consider it a great privilege. We serve a great God, a great God. Amen. Do you know why people come to church? Huh? It's a question. Different reasons, right? The Bible says the entrance of your word gives light. That word light means illumination. Understanding in your heart. That's why I come to church. I want to leave after with something that I can use to change the position I'm in. It's not an entertainment. It's a time to learn something. So we're going to trust God we'll learn something today. Amen. In my mind, there's a lot of ways I can go because faith is a huge subject. I used to think that I would just learn faith, drop it, then I've learned everything, then I'll go and learn love, drop it, then I'll learn hope. It doesn't work that way. I'm not a preacher like pastor. I tend to talk very softly. So don't sleep. But I will not keep you long. Blessed are those that are short-winded, for they shall be asked to come back. Hallelujah. But I meditated on the word and asked God, what would you like us to talk about today? And it's, right now, there are just a couple of ways going on in my mind. And the way God deals with me is when that is happening, as I'm talking to you, I'm talking to you. And I'll just yield and just go how He leads me. But before we do that, I just wanted to sow back into your lives. Amen. So I bought a couple of books. They're not big books. They're just small books that you can read. But I promise you, if you read them, it'll help. Amen. I've got most of them are by Brother Kenneth Hagin. I'm biased about him. Because I came into this by reading his materials. And they've blessed me. They've changed my life. The first one is on words. I think I was here a couple of years ago and we talked about confession. Your words will locate you. If you put me in the presence of someone and they start talking, I'll know where they are and I'll know where they'll go. The devil isn't your problem. Look in the mirror, you are your own problem. You will not amount more than what you say you are. Your words will determine the boundaries of your life. Amen. So if you want it, it's yours. Who would like to have that? Okay, I think she put her hands up first, so she's going to get it. You'd like to have one too. Okay. The next one says, your faith in God will work. So we're going to talk about faith today. So who wants this one? Judah, you can't have it. I've got, you can have what you say. Knowing what belongs to you. I'll have to give mommy that one. How to plead your case. Let's go to the back. Someone said in the back. How to write your own ticket with God. the back part. This one says, hear and be healed. Oops. How to keep your healing? This one is probably one of my best ones. It says in him, it just talks about all the scriptures of who we are in Christ, what we are in Christ. And this one says, get acquainted with God. I'm trying not to give anybody that is related to me. Would you mind if I walk around? Is that okay? So we're going to talk about faith. Is that okay? Yeah. 8 weeks ago, I know it was a couple of months ago, I was in Dallas, and we talked about Jesus, the doorway. We're just talking about faith. And there was this couple, they brought their daughter. She had a heart condition. She's 16. She was born with a hole in her heart. And she was due for surgery the next Thursday. And I'd just been to Atlanta that night, flew into Dallas, and I was driving 4 hours to that meeting. And I was very tired. And I kept having this thing in my heart about someone with a heart condition. And I was like, God, I can't really. And he said, teach on faith. So I taught on faith. And I just stopped. And I said, well, there's someone here with a heart condition. I'm not going to lay my hands on you. This is what God said to do. It says, he sent their word and it healed them. The Bible says the word is medicine to your flesh.
Yes.
Well, 2 weeks ago, I ran into the couple. You know, she didn't have that surgery. She got there and she was whole. It's not the man, it's the message. It's not anyone, it's the message of faith. So we're going to talk a little bit about faith, what it is. It's going to be so simple. The motto is always to talk to the youngest in the audience. If they understand it, there's hope for the rest of us. So I want you to just be on your seat, grab something from God. It's going to be so simple. Amen. Everybody say so simple. Faith. Father, we thank you for the Holy Ghost. He's the great teacher. So Spirit of God, we receive that entrance that Pastor Lam was talking about. We thank you because ears will be open to hear. I thank you, Father, that you will grant me utterance to speak with simplicity and understanding. And Father, I thank you that we'll covenant with you ahead of time to give you praise and thanks for what you'll do. We give you praise for it. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews in chapter 11. You know we're going to go there. Probably the classical definition of faith. No, Zoe, you can't take that as Bible. Do you want my Bible? Do you want it? Okay. Right. I'll use this one. And I'll read a couple of translations that I have here on Hebrews. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's King James Version. Worrell says, now faith is an assurance of things hoped for. I've got to keep it away from her. A persuasion of things not seen. Amplifier says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for. Being a proof of things we do not see, it is a conviction of the reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Message says this. The fundamental fact of the existence of this trust in God, this faith. Note, it says trust and faith are the same. If you look at, or you were listening, you'll notice something about faith. It says it's substance, it's the evidence, it's the assurance, it's the conviction, it's the confirmation, it's the proof, it's the title deed of things we do not see. Are we still here? Classical definition of faith. The problem is sometimes we've heard about faith so long, we trivialize it. You know, someone says, what else can you teach me about faith? Now, Romans 10:17 says, now, faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing. If you read the Greek of that, is a present continuous test, denoting a fact that you do it over and over and over and over and over and over again. I'd like to submit to you this. Faith goes by having heard. When you start saying, I've heard that before, you're no longer in faith. Faith is a continuous thing. It is hearing the word over and over and over and over. And after you hear it over and over and over and over. It says it's the proof, the assurance, the title deed of that thing you do not see. Pastor gave me an assignment. He says to talk about faith for moving mountains. If you want to move a mountain to a distance, from our physics, it says you need to do work. Applied, force applied to something, we need to move it. Faith is a spiritual force. You need to apply it to your mountain for that mountain to move. It is the force that can change the situation of your life. It could be healing, wisdom, finances. It doesn't matter what it is. That faith, that spiritual force, is what you apply to that mountain to get it to move. Mark 11:23 says, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. Note, he said, say to the mountain. He didn't say walk around it. He didn't say cast it down. He didn't say bulldoze. He just said, say to the mountain. Say to the mountain. So notice we said faith has to do with an assurance, a conviction, a proof. A title deed amplified says. There's a version of, I think it's NLT, I'm not so sure. It says, faith is a security of what you don't see. Now, how many of you drove here today in a car? And your car is outside. You got the keys. Whether it's paid off or not, it's yours. If you left church this morning, and there was someone out there trying to enter your car, I bet some of you would lay hands on them suddenly. And it will not be to bless. So if the person was walking away with that car, and they turned around and said, this is my car, what is the proof that this is your car? You probably say, well, if it's paid off, I have the title at home. If not, you say, well, I've got a note on it that says this is mine. But there's something that you have that you're holding on to that is evidentiary proof that that thing outside is yours. That's what faith is. That's what your faith is. That's what your trust in God is. Now, it's not just faith. That faith, that trust, that conviction, that persuasion is based on something. And that's the Word of God. Now, we all came in this morning and you all sat on this chair. Uncle Yomi, can I borrow? I was going to borrow someone's chair. I'll take anyone. Are you getting something? I want you to go home fully persuaded that you're walking by faith. When you came in this morning, I'm assuming everybody walked in and you took a seat and you sat down. Did anybody walk in this morning and said, Father, in the name of Jesus, chair, receive me. Chair, support me. Chair, receive me. You didn't go through all that gymnastic. You came, looked at the chair, and you sat down. Why did you sit down on that chair? I'm going to prove to you that there were some proofs. You looked at the chair. It had four legs. You came to a conclusion that it will support you. It will hold you. In other words, it will undergird you. Notice what Warhol said, that faith is the support, the undergird, the proof that what you do not see is true. When you came in and you sat down, a lot of you must have sat on this chair previously, so you knew it will support you. It will hold you. Do you know that's your natural faith in operation? By reason of use, you were acquainted with chairs supporting. If you'd seen that it had three legs, you probably wouldn't have sat on it. But by use, you know, chairs will have four legs. They will support. They will hold. They will undergird you. Well, if faith comes by the word of God, Romans 10:17, and that word is where faith comes from. Watch this. And over the years, you've been sitting on chairs with four legs and they've supported you. You've done it over and over and over and over, and it had built natural faith in you. So every time you now see chairs, what do? You sit down. Well, it's the same thing with the word. Now, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. And after you've heard, you hear and you hear and you hear and you read and you hear. It builds faith in you. I'm going to make a statement. I'm going to be very bold. Let me put on my glasses. I'll be bold enough to say that your tears don't move God. How much you cry, how much you wail, how much you jump up, what moves God is your faith in His Word. Let me explain. 2 weeks ago, Zoe's school, this is going to blow your mind, they had prom. I mean, prom for 2 years old, I don't know. They had prom. I'm on the other side of the country, and Mudley said to Zoe, Daddy's going to be home the weekend. He's going to take you to prom. You know what my daughter did? She went, got herself a new dress, got ready, and was telling everybody, my daddy's going to be home. He's going to take me to prom. You know what she was doing? She was acting on the word that Mudley said to her, that Daddy will be home to take you to prom. That is faith. Faith is acting like what you believe in God's word is true. Yes. When I showed up on Saturday to take her to the prom was not when her faith started. Her faith started when mommy said, Daddy is coming. If she had cried, if she had wailed, no. She had an assurance that what my mother said to me is true. We've endeavored never to say anything to her that we're not going to do. If we say you're going to time out, she is going to go to time out. She can wail, she can scream, she can shout. What we're trying to do is we're trying to get her to have confidence in the words that we speak to her. Notice again that definition says faith is the confidence, the assurity, the title deed that we have in the word. Yes. That is what your faith is. That is what your faith is. Are we still here?
Yes.
Do you understand? Your faith always should be based on the Word of God. In fact, anybody comes and says anything, a deeper revelation. Last year we were somewhere with my pastor, and someone said to Pastor Egan, "Are you still teaching this thing?" And Pastor said, "Yeah." He said, "Haven't you moved on to a greater revelation?" And I was like, "That guy is nice." Bible says in Habakkuk, "The just, the justified, the righteous shall live by faith." You have your existence by faith.
Yes.
If you will, for lack of, if you will master this, you'll be okay.
Yes.
How did you get into this kingdom? By faith. Ephesians 2:8 says, what? By grace are we saved through faith. Not of ourselves, but it was a free gift of God. John says, by him we go in and out. If you get into something by faith, why are you looking for something else to keep you in it? What brought you in will sustain you. What brought you in will keep you. What brought you in will energize you. What brought you in will make you make progress. Your faith. It is not a joke. It's not something you've heard. This is how you live.
Yes.
This is what will bring you to where you need to be.
Yes.
But you've got to be persuaded by it. By what the word. That's what it's based on. Not what somebody said. Not what you heard. Not what one pastor says. Notice everything I've read so far is, which is reading definitions of faith from the word of God.
Yes.
This is how you must live your life. In this Christianity that we're in, this is how our life is. The Bible says he holds everything. He sustains everything by the word of his power. So if he sustains everything, and my faith is based on that, and my faith comes to the word, I need to be in that word constantly. For my healing, constantly. For my deliverance, constantly. For my finances, constantly. The entrance of your word gives light, illumination to my spirit. That word is understanding. Timothy said that the man of God will be fully girded, not tossed to and fro. You need to have a sound assurance in your faith that come what may, nothing can move me. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by what? The word of God. Turn in your Bibles to Mark 11. So we can have my Bible back. Is this okay? We're just talking.
Yeah.
Is it okay for us to do this?
Yes.
Just to gist the word?
Okay.
It's not deep. But it's easy. We're just gist the word. Mark 11. I'll give you a background story before we get where we're going. In Mark 11, this is where Jesus had that triumphant entry into Jerusalem. They went to get him the colt. He sat on the colt. People were throwing their coats on the floor, hailing him, thinking he was a political leader. And that night they went back into Bethany. You see, Bethany is a distance from Jerusalem. So what Jesus and the disciples did was travel back, slept in Bethany, got up the next morning, and went back to Jerusalem to the synagogue, taught there, then they will get, at the end of the day, go back to Bethany and crash for the day. It was on one of those journeys they were walking, and Jesus saw the fig tree. Are we in Mark 11 by now? I was just waiting for you to catch up. We're there. Where am I? Let's see. Verse 12. It says, on the morrow, I'm reading from King James, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. Jesus was hungry. Whew. Seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he may find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. This used to bug me. And I said, Jesus, but you knew everything. If you knew there were no, this is not the time for figs, why go to the tree? But if you look at it closely, he said there were leaves when he looked at it. In this part of the world, when you see a fig tree, and that fig tree had leaves on it, it ought to have fruits on it. So when he got there, and there were no fruits, look at what the next verse says. It says, and Jesus answered it. Can you imagine being there? One of the disciples, you'll be like, ah, Jesus, what now? Now you're talking to trees. But he said he answered it. Pause. Every situation you feel in face in life will speak to you.
Yes. Yes.
It will speak to you. Notice what he did. He answered it back with the word. Mark 11:20, we're going to get to something real soon. Faith, when you are persuaded, when you know, notice when you went out to your car and that person was trying to get into the car and you said you had the title deed, it provoked a response in you. Mm-hmm. When you are persuaded about a fact, when you are convinced about your faith, faith is not passive, it is active.
Yes.
When you're persuaded about a truth, it will require a response from you.
Yes.
And that's why he responded by what he said. He said, no man will eat fruit thereof from you anymore. He spoke to you. Why? Because it was speaking to him.
Yeah.
It was telling him, on this one, what is prosperity? What does it mean to be blessed? It's not just money. It means being able to accomplish or do something you could not do until that prosperity or blessing came upon you.
Yes.
Now, Jesus was prosperous. So he was expecting to eat something. And the tree was speaking to him, you won't eat today. You will not eat. Here, today, no. So he spoke. Now, whatever you're going through requires a response from you with your mouth.
Yes.
Whether it's your healing,
yes.
Whether it's your finances, whether it's your job, whether it's your kids, whether it's your boss, faith requires a response from you. The response is not you fighting people. It's speaking what you are persuaded about.
Yes.
Again, what is faith? It's the assurance that this word is true. If this word is true to you, speak it. If there is something that comes your way contrary to this, speak what this says. If somebody says, you went to the doctor, and they say, well, unfortunately you will never be able to have kids. What are you going to say? Speak something. Isaiah says, whose report would you believe? In other words, whose evidence do you have? I have the evidence of God's word. Like pastor said of the church, they have an anointing to multiply. I knew he was joking, but when he said that, I was like, that's the word. See yourself that way. All of them say, well, it's a bad economy. You were born on the wrong side of the track. You can't make it in this place. The Bible says in Genesis, said he has made room for you. He is your Rehoboth. He has made room for you in the land. Now, where did that come from? Here. Not because somebody said it, because you found it here. Someone said, you can't make it in that business. The Bible says that he will bless the works of my hand. Where did I say? In here. Note the work. That means you need to be doing something. May I also add, it's got to be legal. I know you know that. I just thought I should give you free of charge. It's got to be legal. Because he will not bless anything contrary to his word. So why won't I prosper? I just need to find something to do. Or someone say, well, other people are doing this, that thing. That is other folks, not me. That is, are you order?
No.
Me, I mean, whosoever. I'll show you where that is. From now on, you start, not order, that's them. This is me. I have a covenant with Almighty. He speaks to me. He talks to me. The Bible says that you have an unction of the Holy One.
Yes.
You know all things.
Hallelujah.
What is that Holy One? The Holy Ghost in you?
Mm-hmm.
You have that unction. You have that.
Yeah.
In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. That life came into this one. Life. Everyone that comes to this, you have His life.
Yes.
The Zoe, the very nature of God is in you.
Yes.
What makes God God is in me.
Yes.
When I accepted Him, that moved into my spirit.
Yes.
I know him. I have the Spirit of God.
Yes.
The Bible says the carnal mind, the world, they don't know Him. I'm not the world. I'm not carnal. So I know Him. I hear His voice.
Yes.
The steps of the righteous, the geber of the righteous man are ordered for God. So He's telling me where to go. So if others are not succeeding, that's not me. I will succeed.
Yes.
He is the greater one. John 14 says, greater is He. Where is He? He's in you. Where's the greater one? In you. Where's the greater one? In you. I said, where's the greater one? What is He going to do? He's going to make Himself big. Not that He's big. The Bible says the earth are His footstool.
Yes.
This same God that we just sang about, that we have never seen His kind. The Bible says He made His habitation in you.
Yes.
He's alive.
Yes.
He's alive. I tell you, we were in college and we had this exam, physical chemistry, it was one of the toughest ones. 157. Oh, God. And we just, everybody, we entered. It was four questions. I'm telling you, nobody knew what to do. I've never seen anything like that before. For the first 10 minutes, I remember the lecture. They were asked, aren't you going to start? One of my friends said, I'll start if I knew where to start. In this group, we're top of the 15 students in the nation. Top 15 students in every high school. I managed to make it with them. At least 15, I made it. We were there. We did not know what to do. There's a gentleman, he's head of geology exploration at I think the Exxon Mobil. He walks out of Houston. He was sitting in the back. We just heard him say, he stood up, and this was silly. Watch, the whole place was quiet. We just heard someone on the back say, well up within me. We're like, this is something else. He stood up in the exam hall and just said, well, I was like, what is he doing? Then I heard this from his mouth. The greater one. He's in me. He's my light. He's my wisdom. All of us supposedly Christians, we just hooked up with. It doesn't matter whether you know what to do or not. When you arrive at a point and there is an inspiration, hook up with it. You don't need to invent the wheel. You see, it would have been silly if we all came here today. You know, the keyboard hadn't been plugged. And so we had, could you announce for all the engineers to come up front? They said, brethren, we need electricity. We have 5 minutes to regenerate it, you know, get it. You don't need to do that. You plugged into the system. When he said that, and I heard, I had enough sense to know that was the word. I knew where greater is He. Wasn't about. I just said, Father, I hook up my faith. He's greater in me. He'll be me. He's in me. He's my wisdom. See, we'd already, by now we've waited 30 minutes. It's a 2.5 hour paper. Till today, it amazes. Nobody knew what to do. People were there. People were holding their pencils. You know what to do. You want them to send you out? You better face it. When he said that, it was the atmosphere changed. The atmosphere changed. Faith was made available. Was it because he said it? No. Because he spoke the word. We were persuaded. We were convinced. We were sure. It became the proof, the evidence of what we needed, which was wisdom for physics, for chemistry 157. I made an A. There were four questions. I did only three. But the three I did well. Why? Was it because I was that intelligent? I am. But not because, but because of the greater one.
Yes, 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 yes.
The greater one.
Yes.
I love it too. My wife just said something about me. What did you, how do I say that in English? I was like, encouraging myself. I'm going to say, I'm not rebuking, I'm going to say, you got to say that. You got to say that. You got to say that. It's not being cocky. It's being assured of this truth.
Yeah.
The greater one is in me.
Yeah.
I know what to do.
Yeah.
In this life, I know what to do. I'm not confused. I am not confused. I am not confused. Every step I take in life prospers me. I know what to do. The Geber of the Lord. When he tells me to stop, I stop. I know what to do. I know where to go.
Hallelujah.
Have you read in Psalms? It said they will dig the ditches. But the same people that dug the ditches will fall into it. So all you there saying, Father, fight with them that fight with me. Catch them. I don't need to do all that. All I need to do is be self-assured in what the word that says it will direct my path. So I can't miss it. Get up. Start walking. Walk to your victory. Walk to where you should be. Walk to what he has prepared for you. The Bible says, see, his thoughts concerning you is not to harm you. It says to bring you to an expected end. To bring you to an expected end. He has a place for you. He's prepared a place for you. He's prepared a place for you. He's anointed a place for you. The Bible says it prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies. I don't care about the enemies. What I care about is the table that has been prepared for you. Wow. The greater one. The greater one. The greater one. Glory to God. The greater one. Why? Because we are persuaded.
Yes.
We are convinced by this word.
Yes.
By this word.
Yes.
You see why faith is just not a topic? It's the way we live our lives.
Yes.
It's the way we live our lives.
Yes.
You need to get up in the morning, look at yourself in the mirror. You man, woman of faith, you're going somewhere to express it. See, we can't teach everything. You know, did you notice we only read the definition?
Mm-hmm.
And we're already excited. This God is good.
Yes.
He has not asked you to do anything but to trust him. Notice this. What else says? Faith is a persuasion. It is a trust in him. Has it been good to you? Has it been good to you? Has it been good to you? Why? We trust him. Do you know what Sarah said? Look at the 11th verse of Hebrews 11. Oh, you're going to get this. You're going to get this. You're going to get this. It's up there. It says, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. Watch this. What she needed was a child, even though she was past the age. See, it was impossible. It's biological and naturally impossible. She needed to do something impossible. She needed strength to accomplish that impossible task. You know what gave her that strength? She said, because she judged him faithful as he promised you. Is he faithful? That's your strength. That's your strength. That's your strength. That's your strength for your healing, your strength for your prosperity, your strength for everything you need. He's all we need. His word is all we need. The greater one. He's Allah. He's in me. He's in me. He's in me. He's in me. Just two scriptures. Was that simple or not? Can you do that? He has not asked you to bring all the money. He has not asked you for a sacrifice. The only sacrifice he has is praise. So I don't know what you're going through. Because notice the word is going through. We're all going through something. But I came from Tulsa to tell you that our God is faithful. Judge Him faithful. In other words, consider Him faithful. His word is faithful. His word is faithful. If He said it, He'll do it. The Bible says He's not a man that He should lie. It's absolutely impossible for Him to lie. He cannot lie. So if He has said it to you, He will bring it to pass. What do you have to do? Judge Him faithful. You might not, maybe you're not looking for a child, you're looking for a job. Judge Him faithful. You want to get out of debt? Judge Him faithful. Let me give you a word. My God. Notice Paul didn't say our God. He says my. My connotes a relationship. He was persuaded. It's not the God of Paul. It's your own God. Your own. Is he yours? Yes. Judge Him faithful. Shall supply. Our sufficiency is on your God. All your needs according to His riches and glory. That's all you need. Do I judge that word to be true? If it's true, it's taken care of. Amen. 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 Do you receive that? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory. 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 Can we give Him thanks? You could do it while you're sitting there. Let's just give Him thanks.
Thanks again for joining us. Remember James 1:22, which urges us to not only be hearers, but also doers of the word. This message and more can be found on the web at www.thecitylight.org.